This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, we're approaching Yom Kippur, of course, which is always a tough day, even when we don't have 48 hostages, having sat 726 days in captivity. And yesterday, there was a huge gathering at the Kotel for the final day of Slichot, for the final day of penitential prayers that is traditional at this time of year. 100,000 people turned up last night at the Kotel, and special prayers were, of course, offered for the safe return of all of Israel's soldiers, all the IDF soldiers who are currently operational, whether they are in Gaza, whether they are on our eastern border, whether they are on the border with Egypt, whether they're on the border with Lebanon and Syria, whether they are somewhere central in Israel fighting off all the myriad of attacks, whether it be gathering information and intelligence from Iran, the Houthi threat that we're countering at the moment. Prayers for all of our soldiers and, of course, for the safe return of our hostages, Bimhera Sheyavol, that we should see their safe return sooner as we possibly can. So really, quite an event at the Kotel, and with special significance, some former hostages also in attendance to come and add their special prayers as well for the return of the others who are still in Gaza.
Not easy times or simple times at all. President Trump has given Hamas 3 or 4 days to respond to his peace plan. What is the current status?
So let's go back to our little conversation yesterday, Howard, where you had a fairly strong view that you felt that the Arab world, those countries who are really the benefactors of Hamas and who have come out supporting the Trump plan, you felt that their support of this plan would effectively mean that Hamas would not be able to reject it, would be essentially forced to accept it, even though we are getting very, very strong messages from different sources within Hamas, within Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which of course is closely associated with Hamas, that this deal for Hamas is something of a capitulation, that it seems to be a deal that's been cooked up by the Americans and by the Israelis, which answers their needs, but really doesn't answer Hamas's needs. And we're getting a lot of that rhetoric coming out from behind the scenes. Officially, we're being told that Hamas is considering the plan responsibly. Now, I don't know what responsibly means, whether there is a way of considering the plan irresponsibly, and therefore this is being done responsibly. I'm not quite sure how that should be interpreted. But it's interesting that in particular, Qatar, along with many, many other countries, Jordan and Egypt and Turkey and Lebanon, also added their voice to all of this and have come out formally supporting the Trump plan. And then there was a little walk back by Qatar saying, we've accepted the plan, but it still needs some negotiations. And I think that that statement is very significant, and it starts to show a little crack from Qatar's perspective, and potentially gives them a way out to say, well, Hamas has rejected this, And we do understand them because there were certain negotiations that were required. Those negotiations have been unsuccessful because, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu came out saying there is nothing to negotiate. The negotiations are done. So he was very, very quick to respond to this. The plans still need some negotiations. And I sense that there is a certain crack developing. I still don't understand why Hamas would want to accept this, other than, of course, if as a consequence of rejecting the plan, they would effectively be excommunicated from Qatar. They would be forced out. They can't go to Turkey because Turkey is also part of this club. So where would Hamas go next? So I think that the only thing that would potentially force Hamas to accept this deal is if Qatari leaders turned around to them and said, if you don't sign, you leave Doha, get out. That, I think, would be potentially the only trigger that would cause them to want to accept this. At the moment, I don't see that happening. But if the American administration is doing their job well, and I have little doubt that they are, then they would be trying to influence Qatar to take that stand and to say, if Hamas says no to this, then we expect you guys to kick them out. Where they go after that, I can only guess Iraq or Iran. I don't know, because they are the two countries that haven't really signed up formally to the Trump peace plan. But other than that, I don't know that they have many places to go, and that might be the only way in which this can happen. At the moment, I still feel that we're getting very negative signals coming out of
Certainly
Hamas,
does seem so.
Even though...
When he says 3 or 4 days, what does that actually mean? There doesn't seem to be a firm deadline, though.
Well, there isn't a firm deadline, but we can be sure that if we get to the weekend and we haven't heard anything, then the 3 or 4 days are over. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where we're counting the 3 or 4 days from, but we can be very generous and say, let's assume that today is day one. Mm. So, you know, by the time we get to Sunday or Monday,
it's done.
Then it's kind of done. And I think that, you know, it's interesting that Trump said, you have 3 or 4 days to respond positively to the deal, or you will pay in hell. Those were his words. You will pay in hell. So he's coming out very, very strongly on the side of take it or leave it. And if you leave it, there are major consequences. In the background, a very, very interesting thing happened in the United States. For the first time in U.S. history, as far as I'm aware, the generals, the senior generals of U.S. military from all around the world were called back to a meeting in the United States. And as I say, this is something which is unprecedented in history. President Trump called everybody back. He got Minister of War, as he's now called, Pete Hegseth, to call all the senior leaders back to the United States. They had a meeting. Trump apparently addressed this meeting of the senior generals of the military to say that you need to be less fat, that apparently he feels that the U.S. military has become too fat. And I don't know whether he means that soldiers are not fit enough and they need to lose weight.
I was wondering.
Or whether,
it's sluggish.
I think, I think he meant that there's just too much, there's not enough maneuverability, there's not enough fitness within the U.S. military in general. Of course, there are many, many people interpreting this to mean, is this potentially preparing for another attack on Iran? Is there some sort of a military attack that's being planned? What exactly lies behind this major event that has never happened in U.S. military history before, that all the generals have been called back for this meeting? We don't know all the details of the inside, you know, talks that went on there. But certainly there is a lot of speculation around this. And I just have no idea whether Trump's you will pay in hell comment has any connection at all to this meeting of the senior generals. But, you know, we can all draw our conclusions. I'm not quite sure if I'm jumping to conclusions in a way that cannot be justified. But to me, nothing is disconnected in everything that's happening at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem so. Let's talk about the flotilla. That is the selfie flotilla, or the showboat, as some of our listeners call it. The latest Gaza flotilla is approaching Israeli waters. What is to be expected?
Yes. Well, they might arrive here on Yom Kippur, which would be quite an event, I think. Mm. But Howard, I noticed that you picked up as well, and you've been following the fact that there are now papers that have linked the current flotilla and ownership of some of the boats directly to Hamas financing it, showing that Hamas really lies behind this flotilla. And of course, it is exactly the type of thing that we would expect from Hamas. It's exactly the kind of PR campaign, PR stunt that we would very much expect from them. But currently, the flotilla, as we understand it, comprises something like 40 boats that have come from various harbors along the way. The flotilla has also been accompanied by boats from navies of countries along the route, including Italy and including Turkey, and some other naval vessels have accompanied the flotilla. And the reason for that is because they keep claiming that they're under attack, that there are drones, that there are airplanes overhead, that there are attempts somehow to try to disrupt the safe passage of this flotilla to Gaza. Let's be clear about everything connected to the flotilla. The amount of food that they bring on this flotilla, because that's the kind of pretext. We're bringing food and humanitarian aid. The amount of food that they bring on the flotilla is negligible and almost non-existent. They've had to consume most of their food along the route anyway. It seems a little bit like a bit of a jolly across the Mediterranean, where people are getting together of a certain kind of political leaning and able to share their views. And it also becomes a publicity stunt because Greta's there and they can do all the social media stuff. And, you know, it makes it for some good selfies. And all of this, of course, is being uploaded to social media. But it doesn't make any difference to the situation in Gaza or the Palestinian situation. It doesn't add any food. It doesn't add any political impetus. It's just simply a publicity stunt. Israel has already offered the flotilla to bring their things, their whatever food they're carrying, to Ashkelon, and that Israel will make sure that it is safely delivered to Gaza. That was rejected. So I'm expecting that there will be a confrontation at some point, potentially even tomorrow on Yom Kippur, when the Israeli Navy will say, that is the line beyond which you do not progress into Israeli naval waters, or you will see the consequences of your actions. And by that, we mean that their boats will be taken over by the Israeli Navy. And, you know, I don't know if Greta will be offered a sandwich again because it's Yom Kippur and maybe the sandwiches won't be quite as good. Whatever it is, Israel will then obviously make sure that people are brought on shore to Israel and are deported as soon as possible. This time, of course, it's going to be much more complicated with the number of vessels involved. It's all publicity related. It all makes for good selfies, but really nothing else except just a really annoying event for the Israeli Navy to have to deal with on Yom Kippur.
Which is it's just so incredible. It's just absolutely remarkable that this would be happening on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish year. But can you imagine if this was the other way around, how there would be a reaction about a festival and not respecting?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just remarkable.
Absolutely. And of course, how that brings me, of course, on the air of Yom Kippur to talk about the last year of reporting and the discussions that we've had. And I would like to say to you, and maybe, you know, to get your view, for me, the last year has been the hardest year that I've had with Chai FM since the very, very beginning. Really, the very hardest year. And the reason is because the previous year, we kind of had the background of October the 7th, and the world seemed to understand that to some degree, but for the last year, the world has forgotten about the war that we're fighting that was started by October the 7th. October the 7th seems to have been forgotten, and it's been incredibly difficult to be Jewish and to be Israeli in the last year under the current situation because of the hatred and because of the attacks that we've come under. And I felt it very difficult to talk to you and to report things fairly and to cover as much as I can under those conditions, because not only do we have the hatred from outside, but we have so many disagreements internal to our community. And while I generally like disagreements and I like to argue things with people and to present a contrary view, I found it very, very difficult over the last year. And as a result of that, I have little doubt that there's been lots of controversy, things that I've said which have been offensive and things which people haven't agreed with, and that it's been tough potentially for listeners also to hear what I've had to say. So again, I'm apologizing for any offense that I might have committed against you, Howard, against the team at Chai FM, who I respect immensely, and of course our listeners, who I love dearly, and I very much appreciate the loyalty that they show towards us. And I hope that we can move on to a new year with forgiveness and with different background and with different news items to cover, more pleasant things, that our hostages will come home and we don't have to talk about what day number we are on in this war.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I wish you all Gmar Chatima Tova, a meaningful fast, a Shana Tova, a good new year that will bring good things. And I hope that we can move on with a slightly different atmosphere.
Anthony, just to say on our side, certainly there's never been any offense that I can recall, maybe just because I'm very thick-skinned, but certainly I think your sensitivity, your balance, your very, very factual and fair way of reporting a very difficult situation is something that I certainly appreciate. I know the team here does, and our listeners greatly do. We know that the Israel Report is a highlight of the morning show, where people spend 15 minutes just getting very, very clear Israel news, factual and verified, and understanding of what's going on. So certainly no need, but on my side, I have no doubt that people feel the same as I do. But either way, wishing you and your family a Gmar Chatima Tova, a very meaningful Yom Kippur, and only good things. And as you said, maybe lighter things and more positive things in the year to come.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.